If you are looking for even more help and guidance on your breakup, I have a few different options for you to take your healing to the next level. I have 4 different online courses depending on what stage of the breakup that you're in, from beginning all the way into moving on after heartbreak. Or you can bundle all of my courses together and use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. I also have my 30-day no contact challenge to help hold you accountable in going no contact with your ex. And we have our free Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with other people going through breakups all over the world. To learn more about any of these resources, head to the show notes where you can learn more about my courses, take the quiz to figure out which course is best for you, or join the Facebook group. And don't forget to use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. It is so normal for changes in your hormones, aka your period, to make a breakup feel that much harder, which is why I'm so excited to share Hormone Harmony with you from Happy Mammoth. My hormones have been on a wild ride the past 3 years with my pregnancies, and my PMS was getting to be so difficult to manage. With Hormone Harmony, I love that it supports hormonal balance and regulation, promotes healthy weight loss and curbing carb cravings, improves sleep quality, and reduces occasional bloating and gas. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens, which help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. With over 17,000 reviews and over 2.2 million customers, Hormone Harmony's biggest feedback is women feeling like themselves again, which I know you'd like to experience too. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code HEARTBREAK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code HEARTBREAK for 15% off today. Welcome to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast with your host, Breakup Bestie, aka me, Kendra. Breakups are hard, but you don't have to do it alone. Each week, I will be taking you through a different topic as it relates to breaking up, healing from heartbreak, growing in your single life, dating, and getting back into happier and healthier relationships. The goal of this show is to provide support, hope, tips, and to remind you that above all, this too shall pass. Welcome back to a very special episode of the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast. Today, I have on author, YouTuber, very successful entrepreneur, podcaster, Lisa Bilyeu, and we're talking all about Radical Confidence, which is the title of her book. And it was actually just recently re-released with a chapter on relationships. And we talk about, what does radical confidence mean? How do you get confident? I think that was a question that I struggled with for a decade, of trying to figure out, how do I just become more confident? And she really lays out the blueprint of how do you gain confidence. And I was so motivated and inspired by her energy, her passion, her expertise on this topic. We talk about, why does confidence get so wiped away as we're going through a breakup? How can we start regaining confidence as we're going through a breakup? So many great tidbits in it. We talk about what to do if it feels like you're too late to find your love. So many great tools. Highly recommend that you go out and get her book, and definitely follow her on Instagram, which I have linked in the show notes. And don't forget to check out her podcast, Women of Impact. So here's Lisa. Welcome, Lisa, to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast. Such an honor and excitement to have you on the show. So thank you so much for chatting with us.
Oh my God, thanks for having me on. This is super exciting. I love talking about this topic.
Yeah, well, confidence, I feel like, is such a pertinent topic when it comes to going through breakups, because I think for most people, it just completely wipes us of that, or at least it feels like it. So I wanted to ask you first, how do you define your book title, Radical Confidence? I just feel like that's such a term that I think so many people aspire to have, and would love to hear kind of the background on that.
Yeah, absolutely. So confidence is a thing that I was searching for so long. I thought my life would change, all the amazing things would happen to me once I got the confidence. So I would just sit back and wait. And the problem is that I didn't realize is that confidence is the byproduct of taking action. And so I had to take action in order for me to build the competence so that I could get so good at something that then I have the confidence. And what happens is that we maybe sometimes build a confidence in one area of our lives. So let's say we build confidence in our skill sets of being able to run a business or study. And so we have a great reputation. We feel really good about ourselves. We built our confidence because maybe we're amazing at science. We're studying to become a doctor. And now we've built our confidence. But then you get in a relationship. And so people think that the confidence from your business or from your studies or from your schooling will then, of course, in effect, then of course impact your confidence in your relationship. And it doesn't. And the way that I like to explain is it's like a muscle. If I was to say to you that I'm going to the gym and I'm going to work on being able to deadlift 200 pounds, I know the moves I have to do. I know the muscles that I'm going to have to stretch, that I'm going to have to use over and over again to get strong. But then the second I then go to, let's say, do a pull-up or a bicep curl, it's a different muscle. So even if I can deadlift 200 pounds and now I'm curling, I'm using a different muscle. I have to start from scratch. That is literally how I think of confidence. And so if most people, most of us, build it in one area of our lives, that we then think, of course, we're going to have it in relationships. And the thing is the relationships to me, what I found is that's the one that can really make or break you. You can have incredible success. I've built multiple extremely successful companies, but nothing dented my confidence more than having a relationship where the guy was toxic, where every single day, all he was doing was belittling me, my dreams, my desires, and the future that I wanted. And that was why I thought it was so important for me to discuss, because you could be incredible in other areas of your life. You can build radical confidence, which means that you keep showing up, even when you don't feel confident enough to show up. You can do that. But if you have one relationship or one person that is just diminishing you over time, it is going to be very hard for you to have confidence in other areas.
So well put. Yeah, I've told this on the podcast before, but I remember in my early 20s, I really had this thought that once I hit 30, it was going to be like lightning struck me. I was going to be confident. I was going to have it all together. And I had to figure out, like, it really did come from doing esteemable acts. Confidence leading to confidence is so important. And one thing that I pulled from your website is it says a partner can double or halve the amount of energy that you bring to your own life, and nothing can shatter your confidence faster than a bad relationship, which is so true. And I see so many people, it's so sad, blame themselves for how they feel within a relationship. And it gets so hard to get to a place where they can realize, oh, it's this other person that I'm inviting into my space that's diminishing me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that there is some ownership to that. Like, I very much, when I was very insecure, I would just call him names and, you know, it's all his fault. And then in my own maturity, in my own growth, I was like, okay, there are things that I accepted. There are things that I thought were quote unquote normal, that I thought that, oh, this is just how relationships are. Now, look, I didn't know any better, so I can only do better when I know better. So I don't beat myself up over it. But you better believe I absolutely do take the blinders off, so that I can make sure I really do see that my past relationship with the utter clarity that I needed in order for me to learn the lessons to bring into my new relationship. And so it becomes the duality of holding two competing ideas in your head. Number one, I didn't deserve to be in this, you know, toxic relationship, and there was nothing I could do about it. There's nothing that I can do about it. And then on the opposite side, I tell myself that I had every chance to leave and I didn't. Mm-hmm. And so the reason why I force myself to hold those two competing ideas in my head is they're both true. Like, I didn't do anything about it, but I didn't know any better. Now, if I turn my back to that, I'm not going to learn the lesson that I can then use in my next relationship. And so for me, it was imperative to really take off the blinders, to look at what I could have done differently, not to beat myself up, not to feel the shame or the guilt, but to absolutely make sure I feel the sting so that I can use that sting in my future, right? It's like kind of like, you don't, once you touch a hot stove, you know, oh crap, this hurts. I should never touch a hot stove again. So no matter how much someone tells you don't touch the hot stove, sometimes you have to have the blister in order for you to remember that you'll never touch the hot stove again. So that's kind of what I do. And that's what I did in order for me to then break free of my last relationship, to build my self-esteem back up, to build up my self-worth, to lay my boundaries, to lay my non-negotiables out, so that I was fully myself, strong and competent, so that when I met somebody like my husband, I already knew who I was. I had already laid out my value system, so I could never repeat past mistakes.
Yeah. I also feel like there's such power in being able to hold that accountability side, because you know, as someone, I did come out of a toxic relationship as well, and I spent so long so angry at the person. I was just going through an old journal and I had something that says, "Why so and so still makes me physically ill to hear their name." And it wasn't until I could own my part of it that it actually gave me the power to let the resentment of them go, which was felt very counterintuitive, but I think it was really powerful because if I just feel like I just fell into a toxic relationship, then it's very scary to go into future relationships because it feels like it's just this crapshoot of, am I going to end up with someone good or someone bad? But for me to take accountability, it's like, oh, I have some power over this. That gives you confidence in and of itself.
1,000%. And I think I very much learned that as well. I was blaming my ex for everything that I then felt like, well, if I enter another relationship and I blame him for everything that was bad, how on earth can I start to take control of part of my part? Or even just if I believe that I'm a strong woman, am I really saying that my relationship is predicated on the other person? No. Like, it's predicated on what I accept, what I don't accept, what I'm willing to stand, what I'm not willing to stand. And so now, in hindsight, again, this is all about empowerment, not beating yourself up for the past. But I have to think like that in order to empower myself that the next time, if I was in a relationship where I would start to see the signs, I've empowered myself to then do something about it instead of looking at that person and going, I can't believe he's doing that. I can't believe he's saying that. It's like, no, Lisa, he's going to do and say whatever he wants. You have zero control over it. But what you do have control over is if you accept it, if you negotiate your own boundaries, or if you just put up a wall and say, I'm sorry, I will not accept this behavior. If you repeat this, I am leaving that relationship. Clear as day. I can say that now with utter confidence. But before, I wasn't able to say it because I didn't have the clarity and the confidence to believe, or the ability to believe, that I deserve to say that in a relationship.
Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Investing in yourself can mean many different things when you're going through a breakup. But when it comes to financial investments, investing can feel intimidating and many people don't know where to start. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for your future. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest in Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just your spare change. Acorns recommends an expert-built portfolio that fits you and your money goals, then automatically invests your money for you. Taking initiative over finances and investments is something that has really added to my overall feeling of empowerment and has helped provide a hopeful feeling as I think about my future. And I love that Acorns makes it so easy. Head to acorns.com/heartbreak or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/heartbreak. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Breakups come with a lot of fears. I know when I was navigating my breakup, I feared I lost my last chance at love. I feared that I ruined the relationship. I felt scared at the thought of dating again. And while these fears are not necessarily true, I know they feel incredibly real. Halloween is coming up, which lets us have fun with what scares us, but what about those fears that don't involve zombies and ghosts? Therapy is a great tool for facing your fears and finding ways to overcome them. Sometimes just voicing my fears in a therapy session is so helpful in taking the power out of them. Because sometimes the scariest thing is not facing our fears in the first place and holding ourselves back. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Overcome your fears with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/heartbreak today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/heartbreak. I don't know about you, but I am ready to be done with the heat and ready for sweatshirt weather. Whether you're excited about sweaters, pumpkin everything, or decorating for Halloween, Pair Eyewear offers infinite possibilities starting at just $60, including a prescription. Plus, you get 15% off by using code HEARTBREAK at PairEyewear.com. I was so excited to shop for and receive my Pair Eyewear sunglasses. They are so cute, and I picked up different colored top frames that snap right on so I can change my look in seconds. Not only do they have sunglasses like I got, but they have prescription glasses too. I've been wearing my pink clear frames as we near the end of summer and will be swapping those out with my tortoise and black top frames as the weather cools off. When you're going through a breakup, it's fun to switch up routine and style, and you can fall into a new routine with infinite possibilities from Pair Eyewear. Go to paireyewear.com and use code HEARTBREAK for 15% off your first pair. And support the show by mentioning that Heal Your Heartbreak sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's Pair, P-A-I-R, eyewear.com, code HEARTBREAK.
Yeah. And like the practice, I feel like it's something that the first time you set a boundary with someone, it feels very scary and you're almost holding your breath and, oh my gosh, what are they going to say back? And it's something that you have to get better with over time, is being able to do that. It's also, I don't know, for me, it's so scary to be in a relationship where I'm at the mercy or the will of the other person. I don't have any authority over me, and I'm constantly feeling like, are they happy? Do they still want to be here, instead of just being able to peacefully exist within a relationship? So I think that's another piece that's so key. I wanted to ask you, why do you feel like breakups take so much of our confidence? Because I think even people who are in successful careers or have their own businesses, a breakup happens and it feels like they forget all of that and they just feel so empty while they're navigating it.
Okay, there's a lot of answers I've actually got here. Okay. So number one, I think that biology just makes sure that your relationship with your partner is one of the most important things in your life over career. So if you think back in the caveman days, right, as a woman, you needed the guy to bring home the bacon, if you will. And so you wanted to be attached to that person so that you're bonding with them because you're taking care of their offspring. And so nature makes sure that that's more important, of taking care of the offspring, of having that bond and that chemistry with your partner. It's going to be more important than your job, right? So nature has made sure that you prioritize that, even if you don't want to. So that's number one. Number two, I really do think that we build our competence in practice. And so when it comes to a job, we can hold ourselves accountable. I showed up, I studied, I did this. Whereas with a relationship, there's a certain amount of trust that you give yourself over to that person. And you give yourself over to them in the hope that they don't manipulate it or abuse it. But I believe it is necessary to do. And what's happened is over time, you find the wrong person to give yourself over to. So that's what happened to me. I gave myself over to someone. I trusted someone that abused it. That then makes me second guess myself. That makes me then not know if I can trust myself. So now that doubt starts to seep in, that now not only can you not trust the partner, you can't even freaking trust yourself. So that's also a contribution, I think, to why we really struggle in this area with our confidence. And then I had a third one, but it completely slipped out of my head. So if I remember, okay, I'll let you know.
No, I think that makes so much sense. That it, I mean, it is, we are working against biology, evolution, when it comes to losing a partner. I mean, even the, like, the chemicals in our brain are trying to find that person and seeking out that person. So I think it, you know, that definitely makes sense as to why it's such a drain on confidence. And, you know, you talk about competence leading to confidence. How does someone, when they don't necessarily have someone to practice with as they're going through a breakup, how does one gain that confidence back on their own as a single person, or however they want to identify themselves?
Yeah. And actually, this question leads into the one I just remembered that I forgot.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
It's really the grieving. So what happens is, I've just done so many interviews with therapists and psychologists and stuff like that. And when you get into a relationship, you project and you have a vision of what your life is going to be like. So you move in with that person. Okay, well, maybe now you've painted a picture of, maybe you're going to have kids. Maybe you've envisioned what that your kids look like. Maybe you've spoken about vacations. Maybe you've spoken about what you're going to do with your parents. You've painted your future. And now what happens is, you have to grieve that entire future that you thought you were going to have with that person. So you're not just letting go of the person that you're with right now. You have to go, okay, I thought I was going to have grandkids with this person. That's not going to happen. I have to grieve that I'm not going to have grandkids. I have to grieve that I'm not going to get married to this person, whatever, fill it in the blank. But that grieving process in and of itself is, I mean, think about a death. No one gets over a death overnight. So now when you think about all the things that we have to embrace with the change of this dynamic, that maybe we thought this relationship was going to work out and it hasn't, now you start to second guess. So you're second guessing your future. Well, what does my future look like? And now fear comes in. So this entire picture that you've painted of your life to be with this person has been shattered. You have to now pick up those pieces. What do those pieces look like? Number one, give yourself the grace to grieve. Number two, give yourself a timeline. Now, this is where I think it's very important, because I'm just going to speak for myself. I absolutely can get in my own emotions. I can listen to Celine Dion and literally cry my eyes out. I know, we all know what to do when we lean into an emotion. Now, sometimes you need it. If you want to really let out the tears, you're going to listen to that sad music. But what happens, at least for me, is that then has a knock-on effect. That sad music then leads to taking a bath. That bath then makes me want to listen to sad music again. That sad music now makes me want to cry again. The next morning, I definitely don't feel like going to my habits and crushing it, going to the gym, right? So now I'm like staying up late because I'm nurturing myself. And I'm like, but Lisa, you've got a heartbreak. You can go to bed late. And now you wake up the next day and you're really tired. And because you're tired, you now cry again. And because you cry again, you now listen to Celine Dion again. And it's a freaking downward spiral.
Yeah.
So what I do is I just accept I know who I am. I don't judge myself. So I go, Lisa, I know that I can lean into it so much so that I will get lost in the upset. I will get lost in the tears. So because I know myself, I go, cool, Lisa, how long are you going to give yourself to grieve? Give yourself a time. Is it a day? Is it a week? Only I can give myself that timeline. And I give myself that timeline. So let's say I say 2 days. All right. In this 2 days, you're going to do whatever the F you like. You're going to eat ice cream. You're going to call your friends. You're going to call the friends that you know are going to make you feel better about the situation, not like really tell you the truth. Like, well, Lisa, maybe you shouldn't have forgiven him. You're not calling that friend yet.
Yeah.
You're calling the friend that is like, you go, girl. You eat that ice cream. He doesn't deserve you, right? Call those friends. But after that time is up, you put down the spoon of ice cream, you switch off Celine Dion, and you call the friend that's going to give you the hard truth. And that friend's going to be like, my homie, I love you. You've got to get back up. You've got to stop listening to that song. You've got to get back on the bandwagon. That friend that is giving you the words of wisdom that you need in order to get back up. But you've got to set that timeline, because otherwise you're going to wallow. So once I do that, then I start to take action again. So I've given myself the grieving process. I've allowed myself to do whatever, but now I pivot. What song am I going to listen to when I get back up? What am I going to do to make sure I'm now building back my confidence? Because if I believe that it's the gym, like a muscle, I just tell myself, all right, Lisa, you've taken a month off the gym. So you can't go back into the gym and crush it again, but you've got to go back into the gym and you've got to start lifting again. So what does that metaphorically now, what does that look like in action once you've got over the grieving process? This means that I now have to get back on the dating sites, or this means that I have to now focus on self-care, or this means now that I have to go to a bar and force myself to chat up a guy, right? Like, what is that thing that's going to pull you now out of the spiral that you've just been in? And now I take action. And that's why I wrote my book, Radical Confidence, because it's about a blueprint that you can do every single time when you don't have the confidence. Because when someone says, oh, you don't have the confidence, I just do it anyway, then you clearly don't know what it feels like to be in my body, where when someone says, just do it anyway, you want to punch them in the face.
Just stop worrying.
Like, yeah.
Just don't be anxious. Yeah.
Yeah. When someone says that, it's like, then you've never felt like what it's really like to be anxious. So for me, I just really paint a picture of, okay, what am I going to do even when I don't have the confidence? What does the blueprint look like? Now, after day one, when you've switched off Celine Dion, what's that song that you're going to play? All right, you know what? I'm going to play Sia, Unstoppable. All right, you freaking go from Celine Dion, Cry My Eyes Out, to Sia, Unstoppable. That's going to make me feel a certain way. All right, I'm going to go from staying up late and eating ice cream to now actually I'm going to wake up early and I'm going to go to the gym again and I'm going to pick up weights that are going to help empower me again. So you can see that I go into action, not just I feel bad, now you need to feel confident again, Lisa. No, it's going to be now a transition period where you go from sad, from grieving, to building your confidence back up. What does that look like? You need a blueprint. That's why I wrote the book. So it gives you actual tactical things that you can do every single day to then build your confidence back up. And what you're going to find is every single day, it's going to be incremental step towards that confidence. It's not going to happen overnight. If you've been in a relationship that has been sucking your confidence for a year, my homie, it may take you a year to build it back up. So I think that that can be empowering when you see that it's not going to happen overnight, that you're not quote unquote useless, that you're not quote unquote doing something wrong or bad. You're just human. And that transition period and that evolution is going to take time. But don't do it blindly. Don't hope that it's just going to happen. You have to actively take charge in what that looks like. And every single freaking day, prove to yourself that you're willing to do the work and show up.
Yeah, so beautifully said. And have a plan. Like, I love the blueprint because I do think it's very important, because I think left to your own devices, if you are hit with one of those days where you feel frozen, you feel stuck, you need to have something that you can just go to that you can't access, like your deepest intuition or your, you know, highest self when you're in that space. So I love having the plan. And I agree. I think one of the most revolutionary things I learned in my life is that I change my thoughts and feelings through my actions. I can't change my feelings from my thoughts. And I think so many people get stuck in that where they think, I can't stop thinking about my ex. Therefore, I'm never going to get over them. Therefore, they were obviously my person if I can't stop thinking about them. And so they feel poorly about themselves and feel like they're incapable of letting this person go. So I love the idea of, hey, these are the actions that I'm going to take day after day, and it's going to get easier. And there will be times, I'm sure, where it feels harder than others. But I love that.
I used to do that. And so I have utter compassion for people that do that. I realized the way that what I do didn't get me the goals that I wanted and the dreams or the vision that I had. So I realized, okay, Lisa, what you're doing, don't beat yourself up, but it's not getting you to where you want to go. So what I did is I flipped it. I now say, what is my goal? And then I retroactively fit how I get to my goal. So instead of saying, you know, oh, well, I do exactly what you said, right? Like, oh, well, if somebody else is going to control the dynamic, I don't know how to get out of it. Maybe I'm doomed. Maybe I can't. That's a very negative mindset. If I say, I want to be in a relationship where I can hold my boundaries, I feel respected, I feel seen, and I feel appreciated. That's a very clear goal. Now you go, how do I make sure that I feel seen and respected? Okay, I have to respect myself. Okay, what does respect for myself look like? It means that when I say something, I'm actually going to do it. It means that when I say that I'm setting a boundary, I'm going to hold to my boundary. Okay, so what boundary am I going to set? Okay, my boundary is that no one gets to ever call me a name. Okay, cool. What am I going to do if anyone ever calls me a name? Okay, if I get in a relationship with a guy calls me a bitch, I'm going to respond to, I will not accept you calling me that name. The next time you do, I will leave this relationship. Great. You just see how I literally took a goal, went backwards all the way to, if this happens, this is what I'm going to say, because I need a tangible thing of what to say and what to do. Because in that moment, when if someone's disrespecting me, I'm going to get very emotional. So in order for me to not get emotional, I just go from the goal and then I do it backwards all the way to, but what if this, what if this, what if this? And it leads me to being able to say something very specific. So now I don't worry if I ever get disrespected in a relationship because I've already thought about how I'm going to respond.
That was incredible. I think so many people think that, okay, I just need to innately be confident and then I will be able to handle these situations. I would say confident people have practiced these situations exactly like you have. Because I remember I would look at people who'd set boundaries and be like, how did they just do that? They don't just do it. You know, I mean, I guess some people are born with that, but they don't just do it. They practice it. They write out scripts. They figure out, okay, how, if someone does this, what am I going to say back to that? I mean, I think that's huge. And it's exactly going back to the beginning of what you said, is that's how you build confidence in that area.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Okay. The last thing I have, and is one thing I've seen you talk about on Instagram, is what would you say to people who are in their 30s, 40s, 50s navigating a breakup and have told themselves it's too late, like I'm done with love, or I'm not going to reach the goals that I think I want to have? I would just love to hear, you know, some words of wisdom of what to say to them.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things I would just ask is, why do you believe that? Like, why do you believe that, let's say you're 50? And you're never going to find a love again. Why do you actually believe it? Well, I don't think anyone's going to be attracted to me. All right. Is that actually true? You think zero people out of 7 billion people in the universe, in the world, that zero people are going to be attracted to you because you're in your 50s? Hell no. Okay, so you know that that's not true. So I literally would ask originally, why do you believe what you believe? Understand where that comes from. Okay, now if I'd said that, you're like, well, okay, I guess you're right, Lisa, but I don't feel good about myself. Okay, why don't you feel good about yourself? Well, I used to see people in their 50s as being, the end of their life. Okay, well, do you feel like it is? Like, we need to start questioning our thoughts a lot instead of treating them as fact. And so that was actually one of the biggest things that ended up changing my life is I question even the things that I believe because I don't know where my beliefs come from. Do they come from a television show? Do they come from my parents who were brought up Greek Orthodox? Do they come from my teachers? Do they come from my homies? Like, where does my beliefs, does it come from an experience? Because here's the thing, some of my beliefs, oh yeah, I actually really do believe that. I experienced this thing. This is the conclusion I got. So yes, I believe this. Or do I believe something because my parents told me when I was 10 years old that that was true and I never questioned it? So kind of knowing where your beliefs come from, I think is number one. Number two is like, okay, let's just really talk real talk. Humans now can live at least until their late 80s. I'm gunning for 100, and I don't actually say that as a joke. I really mean I'm actually looking into seeing how I live healthy to my 100. But let's just, for argument's sake, that people may listening just think I'm crazy. So let's just even just say mid 80s, right? That's like average now. If you're 50, if you're 40 and average lifespan is around 85, you're not even, if you're 50, sure, you're halfway there. You're just over half, but you've still got 35 years. Are
Okay.
you really telling me that you want to spend the next 35 years of your life believing that you're no good? Where did that belief come from? So that's the other thing I would just do the math equation on it.
Yeah.
So that's the next thing. And then the final thing is I want you to go and look at Gladys McGarry. So I interviewed her. She's 103 years old. This woman was married for over 50 years. So she's like, I want to say she's like in her 70s. And her husband in her 70s, she's been married for 50 years, gives her a letter and asks for a divorce. Now she has six kids. She has a practice with him, a doctor's practice with him. She's been married for over 50 years. And when I say, how the hell did you not break when your husband asked you to divorce? She's like, well, I lived the best 35 years of my life. So she doesn't look back at her marriage as being a failure. She just looks at her single life being like, well, now I'm free. I can do whatever I like. I've just lived the last 35 years in utter joy. So even in 70s, she didn't see it as the end of her life. So I challenge anyone that says that their life is over in their 40s. Because I've just literally debunked every thought multiple times of why that isn't true. But you will get what you look for. So if you shine a spotlight on all the people you're not going to be able to attract now that in your 40s and 50s, stop shining a spotlight there and shine a spotlight on all the people you will now attract now that you're more mature. So I think perspective is everything. I think where you shine a light will make sense and what you believe will dictate your actions. So if you believe that your life is over in your 40s and 50s, guess what? You're going to act like your life is over in your 40s and 50s. You're not going to be exploring. You're not going to have curiosity. You're not going to have the thrive for life. And then what's that going to lead to? It's going to lead to you sitting in a chair thinking that your life is over. And that's going to lead to an early death. So in order to not be so dramatic, but I've done a lot of research on this because again, I go, what's my goal? And no bullshit, how am I going to get there? Take the blinders off and actually ask yourself that. And I think if anyone did that in every area of their lives, they will slowly be able to incrementally work towards that goal.
Amazing. That's so powerful. I think anyone who hears that is, that's very transformative. Well, Lisa, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your enthusiasm and your passion. It's like really comes through the screen. So, such an honor to have you on. I will link your Instagram, your book, Radical Confidence, and your website in the show notes. But thank you so, so much. This was a joy.
Oh, thank you, my homie. And yeah, I really appreciate being on. I love talking about this subject. And if anyone wants to, yeah, continue to follow me on Instagram or Women of Impact podcast that I do. I love that. So thank you again.
Amazing. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you loved it, I hope you'll leave a review and share with your friends. If you're not already following me on Instagram, head to @yourbreakupbestie, where I'm sharing new content almost every day. to join our Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with thousands of people from all over the world going through breakups, head to the link in the show notes. And don't forget to check out my online courses for more in-depth help through your healing journey. I always end these episodes the same way, reminding you to be nice to yourself, stay connected with loved ones, and the biggest reminder is that this too shall pass. I promise.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.